Welcome to episode 2 of Loans and Drones. Today we are talking about perception. In this day and age, everybody is assuming they know somebody when they see them on social media or in the public settings. We have Christy Schreenan on today. She is a rock star real estate agent, and I've been working with her for a while now, and I cannot believe that she is a solo agent and she's producing the amount of volume that she is. So with that being said, let's go. Christy, thank you so much for joining us today. So let's talk about perception. Okay. When I saw you, when I first moved to St. Charles, I saw the sign Christy Schreenan, and it happened to be in front of a multi-million dollar property. Mm-hmm. So then I pulled up your information online and saw this amazing video, confidence, you know, just had this big, like, full package of a real estate agent. And I thought immediately, we have a luxury agent on our hands. What do you think of that?
Kind of a shame. Like, I love to sell luxury property, but I sell everything. So I wouldn't want my, I guess, branding, if you will, my social media to make people think that I only sell luxury. I mean, I sell across all price points, and that's super important to me, to sell all price points. So I guess it's not a bad thing. I mean, I'm happy with that, but I would want people, I'd really rather convey everybody gets luxury service, if you will. You know, all the marketing that you see, it doesn't matter what price point the house is I'm selling, you're all going to get the same. I guess, does that make sense?
Like, yeah, Yeah, I mean, we've done deals before. You've done lower end deals and you've treated those clients with the same professional.
Oh, everybody gets the same, right? Yeah. Everybody deserves premier marketing. And that is, you know, photography and everything. To me, whether it's a $100,000 listing or a $3 million listing, they're all getting the same. You know, granted, it doesn't make sense. You're not going to do a drone on a condo, but anything that will sell the property or help sell the property and show it in its best light is getting done regardless of the price point. So although I love selling luxury, I'm not turning that down. I sell everything. So yeah, I have to work on that branding because I want, you know, I don't want to come off as just a luxury agent.
Yeah, I know. I think that so many times people, especially now, people look at social media and they draw a perception of what that person does and who they are and what they believe in and so on and so on. And it's not, like we said, it's not a bad thing, but you also want to be able to handle those shifting markets, you know, when luxury maybe isn't selling as fast or as much as some of the others and adapt to it. So that's a great, great way to look at it.
Well, for me, it's not interesting to just sell one thing. Like I enjoy all, I love real estate, and that could be land. It could be, you know, investors. It could be a first time home buyer. It could be a luxury home that's downsizing. It can be, you know, for me to keep my business healthy and interesting, I like a mix of everything, buyers, sellers, price points. It's every day is a learning curve. And if I was doing the same type, I personally would be bored. So I just enjoy, if it's real estate, I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been doing this for a while now. So what got you into the business?
I was in the business in my mid to late 20s in Lake Geneva, and then ended up getting married and moving away and coming to Chicago. And, you know, I just didn't want to had children and didn't want to be working nights and weekends and insane hours. So left the business. And then when my oldest was going to, well, she was in high school and I started hearing footsteps like, oh God, she's actually going to go to college and leave. And then my next one is going to leave. I just started thinking, you know, I need to have a life when these kids leave. And so when she was a freshman in high school, I said, you know what? I'm going to go back to real estate. I've always, you know, it was a yearning in me when I left. I just missed it. I loved it. It was a natural thing for me. And so I thought, you know what? When she goes to college, I better be rolling in something that really interests me and keeps me busy and occupied. So I'm not one of those pathetic empty nester moms, right? Crying at home. So it actually worked because I started, I think when she was about a freshman or a sophomore in high school. And when she went to college, I was rolling. I was busy. I was, you know, I had another life going. So that's kind of what started it. And the catalyst also was, I think you and I have talked about this. We were selling a home and I didn't know any realtors. And so I Googled, you know, best realtors in my area. And I had three of them out and I interviewed them. I wasn't impressed, okay? I wasn't impressed at all. And I was shocked. I was like, wow, these are the top producing agents? I think I better get back in this business. This is crazy. So I hired one, and I fired her in a week because she was terrible and was not honest. And I just thought, you know what? I want to do this. I miss it. And if these people are doing well, I know I can kill it. And, you know, that's what happened.
And you killed it.
Well, something like that. I don't know.
And still killing it.
Yeah.
This is one of the things I notice about you. And I don't think you can actually learn this. It's just instinctual. You have the ability to literally go into a market, turn on the light, and get business. That's just how I notice Christy is. Whenever she wants to do business, she turns on the light and does it. Were you selling luxury in Lake Geneva?
Yeah, everything was luxury in Lake Geneva.
I
look back, I was so young and, you know, just, yeah, everything's luxury there, right? I mean,
Do you remember your first deal?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, let's talk about that.
That's a whole nother podcast. Because I ended up marrying the executor of that will and having children with him. So I sold my husband.
Oh, gosh, you're right.
Yeah, I sold my first listing. I had a dual agency. So I had the buy side and the sell side. And it was, unfortunately, my now husband's, his father passed away. He was obviously not my husband then, and he was the executor of the will. So this is a different podcast. That was my first listing. So I had the buy side and the sell side on it. Talk about jumping, you know, feet first.
Feet first,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, into the fire.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about when you got back into the industry? How did that change from when you first got in to now?
Oh, my God, totally different ball game. First of all, well, this is embarrassing. I didn't even know how to copy and paste. I didn't use a computer when I was raising the kids. You know, it was a whole different world. When I sold in Lake Geneva, we had one dial-up computer in the office. We used to tape the printout of the house onto the window, and people would walk by our office and look at the listings. You know, you didn't Google stuff. So it was for me to get in the business again was like I had never been in the business, other than obviously some things never change. It's relationship based. It's how you treat people. It's getting the job done. It's marketing. It's all the things. But I had so much to learn about technology and about how to now sell a house. What can I do how can I serve my clients best? Yeah. I had a lot to learn initially. So yeah, there's huge changes.
Yeah, my brother is going through that right now because he's back in the business. He created another company, and so he's learning it. Wow, I don't have to drive anywhere. I can actually use everything on computer-based right now. So everything is at a touch of a button. So
yeah, I mean, it's adapting, and that's what makes it interesting. Every day, there's something to learn.
Yeah.
Love it.
I like the fact that you just said adapting, too. So when a market shifts, how do you adapt to
that? We can feel it and see it and smell it before you see it on the news, long before you see it on the news, right? And you just start, you know. When you say adapting, you're saying switching from like a seller's market to a buyer's market. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to inform your clients. Here's what I'm seeing. Here's what's happening, you know? And they trust you because they can see your track record, and you have to go with what's in front of you. I mean, you have to deal with what's happening today.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people listen to the national news and they're like, well, this is what's happening in real estate. It's like, well, that's not what's happening in the Fox Valley. And that's certainly not what is happening in your neighborhood. You know, so let's narrow it down and let me show you the facts and the reasons and what's happening. And let's take it from there.
I mean, we're always competing against the media and what the media thinks. And
yeah.
You always get these armchair quarterbacks that are telling us what our industry is doing. We're on the front lines.
Well, and I think more importantly, I think people, you know, it's natural to hear either on a national level or the Chicago news, but it really gets narrowed down because certain neighborhoods are more desirable, or this one because of this, you know, just a lot of different moving parts. And that's why you just sit down with somebody that really knows your area and go over the details and ask all the questions. You can see what happens. What's happening in where I live, Bill, is different than what's happening in your neighborhood. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
And we're only, what, 5 miles apart or something. You know, it's different.
Yeah. And if you think about what's happening in the city market is different than the suburbs.
Yep.
You know, so like things are sitting a little bit longer in the city than they would be in the suburbs right now. It's just it's an interesting time to understand the markets when it comes to real estate.
I always find it interesting, like little bizarre things show me the market's shifting, you know? Like we have in my office, we have a huge drawer. You pull it out and it's got lock boxes in it, right? And you start opening that drawer and there's no lock boxes, you know? And you're like, well, you know, we see it before it's ever on, you know, it's like, wow.
So, that's interesting.
Or it's so full you can't even, you know, they had to find a second drawer and you're like, dang, you know, we need some listings, you know, just things like that. Realtors who are doing it every day in your marketplace, yeah. Those are the people who know. Those are the people you need to ask the questions about for your home and, you know, what it's going to do. Don't listen on the national level.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, we start getting emails trickled in, you know, price reduction. You know, it's like we're seeing things before you see it. And
yeah.
Before you.
That's so great. Doing that type of volume, why are you an individual agent?
Because I'm a control freak. I don't know. I mean, I want service and my word is everything. So if I have people working for me, then if something falls through, I wasn't there to, you know, I just want to be the only person you're answering to. Now, I have admin help, obviously. I have admin help. Yeah. But as far as, and showing help also, I have an assistant that can help with showings because sometimes you just can't be two places and, you know, at the same time. So if someone help with showings sometimes. But I just want to be there. I want to be the person you call when you have an issue or you have a question. I don't want it passed down. I don't want to tell you that, you know, you've hired me and then four other gals show up in the course of a month. You know, it's me. I know I can deliver the service I promise. I don't have control if other people are, I don't know. It's just a control thing, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I can understand that because, I mean, we're hitting dollars that, you know, a lot of teams are hitting on our side too, but I can't get away from the control part of it, you know? So that is hard. And
well, I'd rather have lower numbers and deliver the service that I'm comfortable delivering
with.
I don't need to double my business. I like what I'm doing. I like being busy. I like handling each client individually.
I completely understand because I think, and this is not to hit on, you know, other teams that are big and they're trying to build, but I just think that in a market like this, that this is going to be a level up moment. You know, we're moving into this 2024, and about half of the people in the mortgage side have left the business. And there's people that are, there's a mass exodus of real estate agents that are leaving. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, you have to adapt, like that word we were talking about, adapt to the market, and it's going to be a level up. If you don't have the service, and I'm sorry, it's going to be one of those moments where you may have to either cut some ties with some people on your team, or, you know, the service is a huge deal right now. I think that's where, when you run into a recessionary market, that's where you see the service level up across the board because you get the A players and A listers that are in there, you know?
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's interesting because when people ask about, you know, you go on an interview to get a listing and they'll say, well, how are you different than the other realtors? I have no idea. You know, I'm in my own lane. I run my own business. I know what I'm doing and I expect excellence out of myself and the promotion of your property or helping you buy one. I mean, I don't know exactly what they're doing with the teams. It's just, you know, I'm in my own lane.
Yeah. Well, I like what you're saying because what I tend to do is I'm a competitor, mm-hmm. right? So what's your why of what you do? I like to compete. I like to be first. You know, I don't want to be second, right? Like the Ricky Bobby, right? I don't want to be second. So that's just what drives me. Everybody's got their own ambition and drive of why they do what they do. And that's just for me. It's the dollars come later. That's not, so some people go after the dollars. Some people go after the fact that they like to be around people and they like to service all different kinds of business. Like yourself. I think that's amazing. I wish I had that. I wish I had the fact that I could put the blinders on and not be like the shiny lure, you know, loan officer that's getting like hurt every 5 minutes when I see a real estate agent working with another loan officer, you know?
Yeah.
So kudos to you on that.
I think the why changes, right? I mean,
really?
As your life changes and different reasons, you know?
Well, what's your why right now then?
Well, I got one more in college. So that's a why, you know?
Yeah.
I just enjoy helping people. I know that's kind of trite, but it's true.
Your daughter is now getting this. So you're leaving a legacy And by the way, her daughter is All-American track star from Tennessee, so go Vols, right?
Yep.
So she is now getting into the race of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell her as a new agent? What would you say to her?
Don't let people tell you what you are and how what you're going to be. You know, and I guess that's not just for real estate, right? If you're looking for real estate advice, that's just advice. People will say, oh, you're so young, you won't sell, or you don't know anybody here, or, you know, you work another job. How are you going to, you know, I don't let people tell you what you're going to achieve. I think that's something like looking past as you get older, right? You know, if you had a do-over, you wouldn't let this happen or that happen. I used to let people tell, you know, put limits on me. And I would tell her, hey, you know, somebody's got to be rookie of the year. Why not you? You know, I mean, just don't let other people, because she's 24, right? So she's young. And I know plenty of people have plenty to say about that. But I would tell her also keep in mind, remember, all those people sitting around the office giving you advice, they're not out there selling. That's why they're sitting around the office giving this 24-year-old advice, right? Don't listen to them.
Right.
You create what you want to create because you have all the power within you to do it.
Oh, I love that.
Easily.
I like how you said, why not? Like, my niece is in New York, and she's hanging out with a lot of people that are young, but they are making a ton of money because they're saying the same thing. They're saying, why not?
Right.
Like, that's the beauty of this world that we live in. Everything is at a click of a button. You can be an entrepreneur tomorrow if you wanted to do something. So don't let the world tell you what you should do. So I think that's a great, great words of wisdom from somebody that has earned her keep in this business. All right, now we're gonna shift. We're gonna go into a little bit of just three questions that we ask. If you could hang out with anybody today in the world, doesn't matter if they're alive.
I wish you had told me these questions before I came.
This is the beauty.
Anybody in the world?
In the world today, you could hang out with and have dinner with. Who would it be?
My dad, who passed 15 years ago. I mean, that's
wow.
Yeah.
So good, close relationship with
your dad. Incredible. Almost everything I know.
Are you serious?
Well, I mean, he taught me how to be, right? I mean, both parents do.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's things, little words of wisdom he gave me that think about every single day.
Question number two, we're on it.
Here we go.
What's one thing that your dad had said that was like always stuck with you in your life?
Oh, so many things. Every time I'd leave to go back to Chicago or whatever, he'd always say, take her light. I'm somebody that's type A, you know, so I always want everything perfect. I want to get it done and nothing's good enough and I got to do better. And, you know, he'd always say, take her light.
Oh, that's good.
So I think about that sometimes when I'm all worked up. I'm just like, take her light.
Take her light. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's funny because I'm the same way. And I have a letter in my office from my dad, and he was watching me play basketball with a neighbor kid. And I got too into it where we were like, you know, just hustling like we do today in our world, but it's not physical necessarily. And he wrote a letter saying, hey, keep your attitude's great, but don't let your anger get a hold of you. So there's things and the things that your parents did say that at the time you may not have appreciated it.
Yeah.
But later on, and my dad passed away a while back too. Later on, those things ring loud and clear. Yeah. So that's awesome.
One thing he said that I think about often is when I was leaving, you know, as leaving from my hometown and moving, he said, be tough, but don't ever get hard. And I think about that because that's a fine line, you know?
That is a fine line.
Just because life will slap you around a little bit. And I thought that was, you know, I think about it all the time because we all know people that are hard. And I wanted to just say, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if you could back that up because you did cross that line and now that's who you are, you know?
Yeah.
I'm never going to let that happen.
That kind of goes with perception too, you know?
Yeah.
So how people perceive you. Like Chris, one of our guys, said it earlier. He said the first impression is how people see you. The second impression is what comes out of your mouth. So thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Third question.
Really good.
Favorite food?
Oh, French fries.
French fries.
Yeah.
McDonald's. That came out quick.
Yeah, that's so easy.
So you're going to have French fries a day?
No, I am not. It's the new year. It's the new me, remember? At least until like February.
So McDonald's French fries, would you have the Coke too?
Diet.
Diet.
Of course, then I can eat more fries.
Love it. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on today. You always are so amazing when we get on camera. We've been on camera before with reels and stuff like that, and just so natural. And I think she's gonna hit some major dollars this year. So look out for Christy, and thank you so much. And perception is everything, like we talked about. How you perceive people is probably not what is happening on the other side. So just be careful of that. We will see you on the next episode of Loans and Drones, and y'all have a great day.